Do you hate tax season? I know I do. Learn how to make it a little less painful on this episode of the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Hey there, this is Dr. Erin Wiseman. I'm a fellow Dr. Podcast Network member, life coach, and mom of three. I kick butt, I take names, and I help other high-achieving people do the exact same. And today, I want to invite you over to my podcast, Dr. Me First. It's well over 300 episodes, and each one is filled with inspiration and advice from amazing guests. So grab your wife, your mom, your sister, your best friend, and come tune in as we explore what it means to be a woman in medicine and a woman in this world. Because this podcast is a dose of everything that I needed when I was burned out, exhausted, and ready to quit it all. At the end of the day, I do this to help you feel more connected to yourself and to connect with others. I love to end my show with a kick of encouragement, so here's my favorite tagline. Your life, your calling, your pulse matters. See you over at Dr. Me First.
Welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast, where it's all about serving the early career physician. Let's talk about the unique issues that face us so we can create a better future for ourselves and those to come. And now your host, Dr. Andrew Tisser.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew, and welcome back to the Talk to Me Doc podcast. I'm so happy you're here. For my returning listeners, thank you so much. For my new listeners, you're in the right place because today, like on every episode, we're talking to the best guests from all around healthcare and beyond to discuss issues relating to the early career physician. Today, we're talking taxes. I know, really exciting, right? But today, we're talking with an expert in tax reduction planning so that April is a little easier. Paulina Shushikvich is a tax reduction advisor and co-founder of Smart Cloud CPA, a CPA firm that specializes in tax reduction planning. An average client working with her can expect to save approximately $37,000 annually in taxes. Tax reduction planning has nothing to do with tax preparation, financial planning, magic, voodoo, or Al Capone as tax evasion, though she is a Chicago native. It's much less exciting and involves a lot of tax law and IRS compliance, but definitely worth learning more about. Apart from work, she loves to paint and has recently discovered a new technique called acrylic pouring. She has a dog that weighs 120 pounds and recently moved from Chicago to Las Vegas, where she's happily forgetting what rain and snow look like. Well, sounds exciting to me, so let's get Paulina onto the show. Paulina Shushkevich, welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, thanks for coming on. I recorded a little intro about you for the listeners, but in your own words, can you kind of tell us what you do and who you are?
Sure. So I am the co-founder of Smart Cloud CPA, and we are a different breed of CPA firms. Obviously, we also do income tax preparation, we do accounting, but we want to pack as much value into our client relationships as possible, which is why we also focus on tax reduction planning. So this is a way for you to pay as little in taxes as is legally possible in your situation.
Well, that's good. I mean, the less we pay the IRS, the more we get to take home. So I like that idea. So what is tax reduction planning? I mean, it sounds good on paper, but what is it?
Sure. I think the easiest way to explain what it is to start with what it is not. So tax planning is not income tax preparation. And this is because income tax preparation is backwards facing. We cannot change the past. And in most cases, we cannot plan for the past. So when your accountant or CPA is preparing your income tax return at the end of the year, they're using historical data. So that's not planning. That's just compliance work that the IRS makes us do. Tax planning is also not financial planning. It's not wealth management, and it's not investing. And this is because all of these services have some type of speculative factor involved. So, you know, you will invest in Bitcoin or you will invest in Tesla. It can go great and it can go pretty poorly. So what tax planning is taking tax law, basically IRS code and various other tax provisions. And dissecting your tax and financial situation kind of step by step to see where you're overpaying in taxes and what can be done in your particular situation to solve this issue. So whether, let's say, you receive a 1099, does it make sense for you to set up an LLC? Does it make sense for you to set up an S-Corp? Will either of those save you on taxes? Should you set up some sort of a extra retirement fund for yourself? Should you be maximizing some sort of a deduction? So, for example, is there a home office deduction that you should be taking, but you're not? There's also a lot of changes to tax law as a result of the pandemic, some tax credits to be had there. And there are also strategies that can apply to just W-2 earners. So it's definitely not true that if you're in a W-2, all that you can do is invest in retirement and that's about it. So there are various advanced tax reduction strategies that involve, for example, tax credits, various government incentives that also can lead to reduce your taxes quite considerably. And we perform this type of analysis for each client. The analysis is unique. And we present at the end 5, maybe 10 tax strategies that the client can employ in their particular situation to save on taxes. And the final product is called a tax plan.
Cool. All right. Well, that is a very thorough explanation. Thank you. And you already answered my first question was, does this even apply to W-2 employees? So I guess it does. Because that is the common wisdom, right? You don't really have, you're going to take your standard deduction and you have your retirement accounts and that's about it.
Well, unfortunately, yes. And the reason is that the types of strategies that are available to W-2 wage earners are not of the simple type. So it's not a question of let's purchase a computer and write it off. Obviously, you're not allowed to do that as a W-2 wage earner. So you have access, however, to various tax credits. Renewable energy tax credits, for example, where you can receive a investment tax credit as high as 26% in combination with a accelerated depreciation bonus. And this type of strategy can help you save $20,000 on taxes annually and up. So there are strategies. They're very complex. Not too many CPA firms want to even dabble in them because they're hard to do. They're hard to implement. You need a really, really great grasp of tax law. And you need to spend your time on more than just preparing income tax returns.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, I think once people start hearing complex tax strategies, though, they get a little, a little put off, and B, start thinking maybe it's, a little bit sketchy, I guess, right? Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about fully legal tax strategies that are just using a thorough knowledge of tax law, which, my listeners surely don't have.
So absolutely. I mean, it's very, very similar to being a doctor, to being a surgeon, right? A CPA has a CPA has a certain specialty, right? So not every doctor has the same specialty. Not every CPA specializes just in income tax preparation. We happen to be kind of like the neurosurgeons of tax law. So that's number one. Just like doctors get their license, we have our license. We do not want to lose it. Therefore, we are not going to advise our clients to, you know, ship their money to the Cayman Islands or pretend to be living in Puerto Rico. Definitely not that type of strategy. In fact, when we do our tax planning analysis, we focus a lot on compliance with IRS regulations. And that is because, unfortunately, the IRS never gives anything for free. There are always hoops to jump through and hurdles to jump over. And unless you have all the paperwork, unless you really, you know, fulfill all the requirements of a strategy, we just cannot legally or ethically recommend it to you. But I do know that very often people will listen to some of the information I provide and think, well, is this magic? Is this a scam? And unfortunately, it's not as exciting as that. It is just tax law, and there really isn't much more to it. Either you know the tax law and you can recommend various strategies, or you don't know it, in which case you're probably a little afraid of it. And of course, also scared to recommend it because of all the liability issues that are involved as well.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And this isn't a set it and forget it either. I mean, with an ever evolving tax code,
yes,
you guys have to be really on top of things.
Yes. So that is what we spend a lot of time on, at least a few hours every week catching up with what is happening in tax law and, all the changes that are either being proposed for the future or any changes to what has already happened this past year because of the pandemic has been, it really chaotic for CPAs and tax professionals.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Well, let me ask you this. So you're a trainee and you're about to graduate and go make your big bucks, right, the first year. And you're looking in, maybe you're ahead of the game and you're looking into the future as to what tax season is going to be like for you. And I want to give you three scenarios. The first scenario is a straight W-2 employee, single, and no real interesting assets to talk about, just they're going to be straight W-2 salary. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about a 1099 person, and then we're going to talk about somebody who has a choice between the two. So you're a W-2 straight employee. What should you be thinking about as far as tax strategy? And, you don't need to give away all your secrets, but for someone who's quadrupling their income basically overnight, what are some of the things they should start thinking about?
Sure. So my first recommendations are going to be very, very boring because, before you can start saving taxes, you should get your other finances in order. So probably I would say, create a budget, make some sort of a plan for an unfortunate situation, whether it be write a will, have a few thousand dollars saved away. Definitely, focus on paying off your loans if you have any. Don't keep up with the Joneses, just kind of small things. Mm-hmm. And start with small things as well. So start with a, 401k. If there is a match, obviously, put in as much money as is matched by your employer, at least. Look into something like a Roth IRA, or even maybe a backdoor Roth IRA. Consider small strategies like having a health savings account or a flexible savings account. I would probably prefer health savings account. It's a little bit more beneficial. So those kind of three things would be the basis. And then as your income goes up, let's say you're now earning $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 annually, your choices are going to be either long-term retirement planning or they're going to be the short-term strategies that involve various types of tax credits or deductions in numerous programs that are offered by the government every year. So, for example, right now, the Biden administration is turning away from oil and gas investments and towards green energy incentives. And like I mentioned before, there's really great tax savings to be had over there. So this would be kind of this tax reduction strategy that I would advise for a straight W-2.
Okay.
For 1099, you know, there's a lot more to play with. I would really recommend going the 1099 route if you are also taking under consideration that you will have tax planning. Because if you don't tax plan, we see a lot of clients who just end up with a humongous tax bill at the end of the year because maybe they weren't sure if they should be setting anything aside for taxes. They weren't sure if they should be paying quarterly estimated tax payments. You know, all of those things kind of stack up. And if you aren't keeping track of your expenses, things like that, it might not be worthwhile to do a 1099, but let's say that you are getting some support. Definitely, I would look into legal entity optimization. So that usually means should you set up an LLC, should you make an S-corp election, maybe make a C-corp election, lots of things that can be done there for tax savings. Next would be maximizing your deductions. So, you know, depending on the entity structure that you have chosen for yourself, there are various deductions that you can be taking. So obviously keep that under consideration. There are various small business strategies. And by small business strategies, I mean strategies that can save you approximately $5,000 to $15,000 annually on taxes. So this might include hiring your children. It might include renting out your primary residence to your business. So along those lines. And then also taking advantage of any, for example, if you have employees, any employee retention tax credits that we have available. If you would like to set up a retirement account for your business, then take advantage of various things and even go beyond the 401k to things like profit sharing plans or cash balance plans. So all of those things. And then, in addition, in some cases, you will also be receiving a W-2 from your business, especially if you have, for example, an S-corp. And then you can go back to square one to everything that I recommended for straight up W-2 wage earners. And your third was somebody who has a choice, go the 1099 route or the W-2 route.
Or let's say somebody who's trying to evaluate two job offers, right?
Sure.
And one of them's a W-2 and one of them's a 1099. I know the traditional teaching is you probably should be making more because of self-employment tax, but the other side of that argument is you have so much more deduction ability that maybe they balance out in the end. So, what are your thoughts on there?
Sure. So, you know, I would ask myself, number one, am I an entrepreneur? Am I the type of person who is happy, you know, marketing, setting up my own website, going on podcasts, you know, writing blog articles, sending out emails to kind of generate more business for myself? Because I'm assuming that just kind of one 1099 gig is not going to be enough for me. It'll be kind of like a, you know, a gateway to having my own business. I'd be self-employed, right? So I would want to grow that income. Versus, am I the type of person who likes stability, does not have a high risk tolerance, and just wants everything kind of, you know, taken care of for me so I can focus on my job? In that situation, you know, a W-2 sounds great. And I have some clients who, you know, get 1099 opportunities and they say they don't want them. They want to just do their job, go home, and there's nothing wrong with either solution. I think ideally would be to kind of have both. So to have, you know, some W-2 income and then some 1099 income. So let's say a situation where you have $300,000 in W-2 and then let's say $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 coming into that 1099. So then you have your stability on one side and you have, you know, lots of deductions to play with on the 1099 side. Personally, I'm an entrepreneur, so I would prefer the 1099 route. But again, you just have to do a lot of soul searching and, you know, how diligent are you going to be, with all the paperwork, with all the taxes, with all the payroll issues and with all the, you know, not having an employer withhold your taxes for you.
Yeah, I know when I was fresh out of training, I did mostly 1099 work, and my accountant at the time vastly underestimated how much I should put aside for quarterly taxes. And so, you know, come April, I had a really big surprise. And then I was chasing my tail for the next 2 years trying to make up all, you know, because these were huge sums of money. And it caused me personally a lot of anxiety because it was just like, you know, everybody's scared of the IRS,
but sure,
you know, it's one of those things. But now, you know, now I'm a business owner. I do have some W-2 income now, which is helpful, but like, I understand it so much better and it's not a big deal. But at the time, just, you know, one or two pieces of bad advice and you could set yourself up for a few years of tough times.
Yes, yes. And I think what I've noticed is that because we work exclusively with medical and healthcare firms and professionals, I've noticed that most doctors are very big on DIY. And I'm, you know, I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, you guys are super intelligent and you know, why not kind of think, well, why don't I try figuring this out myself? So I think that is, you know, kind of part of the problem, that you really should have an advisor, right? So ideally, before you got that, you know, 1099 income, somebody should have advised you, you know, make quarterly estimated tax payments, you know, should have maybe done a projection for you and said, well, this is how much you'll be earning. So this is how much you have to set aside every month in order not to have this huge tax bill and to avoid various penalties and things like that. So I think a lot of people, and not just doctors, a lot of people are okay with paying a CPA to prepare their income tax return, but don't understand that there are other aspects to their taxes apart from just filing, that there are various advisory services and there are various, you know, kind of consultations that a CPA can help you with. And I think as long as you find a reputable CPA and, you know, that person becomes a good partner for you, you will avoid much of this anxiety. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes patients, I'm sure you guys hate patients who, you know, had some kind of a problem and tried self-medicating. So we kind of have that perspective on clients who, you know, had some IRS issues and, you know, tried maybe corresponding with the IRS themselves or using some kind of a weird platform or, you know, some sort of free advice. So it goes both ways.
It's so funny too, because like last year it was still pretty bad because I was fixing the mess. And then this year I hired a new CPA and I have, you know, I have a business this year, so that really helped. But, you know, come tax time and they're like, oh, you actually get $10,000 refund. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. What? I was like, I haven't gotten a refund in years and years. I always owe them so much money. I was like, oh, well, this is how tax season should, even if it was just like, oh, you owe them a little bit of money, fine. But, you know, tax season shouldn't be scary or intimidating. It should just be something else that you do because you've planned so well for it. I remember reading somewhere, I don't remember what book it was in, but basically that they get excited to pay their taxes in April because they're so close, they're projected so close that it's, you know, they know exactly what's coming in and it's just another bill.
We have those calls with clients sometimes where, you know, we schedule a call with a new client. We had one of those calls a few days ago where they paid $30,000 less on their income tax return. And it was just such a, such a fulfilling phone call to be able to provide that type of information to them because they had been so stressed. How much am I going to owe in taxes? So yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, we're running out of time a little bit here, but I wanted to shift gears to get to know you as the guest a little bit more. So Paulina, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, wow. So, you know what? I think I'm a much more boring person than I used to be. I think, you know, when you think about accountants or tax professionals, they're usually boring. But let me tell you that I recently moved from Chicago to Las Vegas. So I have a garden. And one of my favorite things to do now is assemble patio furniture. Today, I bought my very first drill. And I am going to be setting up something called a shade sale. So if you never hear from me again, it just means I fell off my ladder and died. So I'm getting into handiwork. I've always loved handiwork. That's actually something that I hope I will get to do when I retire. I'd love to learn how to make furniture. Apart from that, I just discovered a new type of a new painting technique. It's called an acrylic pour, or basically you just pour paint all over the place and you get all these cool little features. And I've been doing a lot of that. So my new house is also splattered in paint. And then finally, I have a huge dog. My dog is 120 pounds. Wow. He's quite a handful. He's very spoiled. He is a handful. I have to take care of him a lot. So that's a lot of brushing and walking and dog parks and things like that. So those are probably the three things that I'm doing right now. A little bit of handiwork, some interior design, some painting, and a lot of dog hair.
Hey, that sounds good to me. Nothing wrong with that. Do you have a book recommendation for the listeners?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I've been thinking about this because you sent me a little email that you'll be asking for my favorite book. So, look, I have four. My very, very favorite book that I really recommend everybody read is 1984 by George Orwell, but I'm guessing that a lot of you have read it already. Another favorite is Their Eyes Were Watching God. Another favorite is Master and Margarita. And then anything by Kafka as well. So it can be The Process. It could be The Metamorphosis. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'll put those all in the show notes for the listeners. And if you could give the early career physician or other healthcare professional just one single piece of advice, besides all the great advice we've gotten from you thus far, what would that one single piece of advice be?
Love your job and don't go into debt too much.
Perfect.
I guess.
I love it. Perfect. All right. And if people want to find out more about tax reduction planning or your company or what you're up to, where can they find you?
Sure. So probably a good place to start would be our website, which is smartcloudcpa.com. And they can just probably also type my name into LinkedIn. I'm always happy to have a chat or just, you know, say hello. Even if it's something small, I'm happy to answer or offer some advice if possible.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for all the advice on the show. I've learned a lot, and I look forward to talking with you more.
Okay. Thank you. It was great meeting you, and hi to all of your listeners.
Before we end, don't forget to go hang out with my friend, Dr. Erin Weisman, over at her podcast, Doctor Me First, on your favorite podcast app, or learn more about how to connect with the Queen of Sass by heading to drpodcastnetwork.com/DrMeFirst. What a fantastic episode with Paulina. I really enjoyed some of the advanced tax strategies and her discussion about what W-2, 1099, and mixed employment models can do to help plan and reduce their tax burden. Certainly, taxes aren't a sexy subject, but something that affects us each and every year. One would argue each and every day. Thanks again for listening. That's all we have for today. What I'd like you to do after listening is go to my website at andrewtisserdo.com/video, where there's a 4-part video series describing my journey through burnout from medical student all the way through early attending, what I did about it, and practical tips along the way. If you enjoyed this show, please leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts and share it with at least 3 friends. Until next time, keep talking. All opinions expressed by the guest in this episode are solely the guest's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof. The guest's opinions are based upon information he or she considers reliable, but Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, nor any affiliates thereof warrant its completeness or accuracy. The guest, Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided in this episode. The guest statements and opinions are subject to change without notice.